Council. Let the record show that all council members are present. We'll begin with a moment of silence. And as I'm sure you know by now, we lost Phyllis Dorn a couple of weeks ago. So now Warren and his bride are together again. You might just think of her in your moment of silence this evening. Thank you. To lead us in the pledge and also to highlight our business for the evening, we have Boki from Otter Bay Gifts. And she'll lead our pledge and then tell us about her business.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to be talking this way.
They can watch you on the monitor, so whatever's okay. Comfortable.
Okay. My name's Boki Ackerman. I own Otter Bay Gifts. It's on the Embarcadero, right in front of the Otter Rock Cafe. I've been in business for just over a year. And I employ three people that reside in Los Osos and one that resides in Morro Bay. I myself live in San Luis Obispo. And it's a great place to shop. We like the locals to shop, to get locals down to the Embarcadero. We offer a 10% discount on all merchandise. That includes all sale merchandise as well. And that's sale merchandise up to 40% off. So that's a nice little, kick for people to get down there. We carry locally made merchandise as well as stuff that isn't made in the area. But we carry the Morro Bay Mud Fudge. We carry the Otter Rock Cafe's apparel, which is made by Synergy here in Morro Bay, which is also part of the Morro Bay Surf Company. And we carry a line of jewelry that is made in Shell Beach. It's all handmade. It's called Sea Gem Jewelry. And it's at a really reasonable price. And it's very well made, kind of fun for not just tourists, but also for locals. I carry a brand of clothing called Life is Good. I don't know if anybody knows about the Life is Good brand, but I have the biggest selection in the county. There's only a couple other stores in the county that actually carry it. And it's been actually the bread and butter for the store. It's just, I can't keep it in. It's very, very positive, very outdoorsy. They're actually making the line bigger to include some stuff that you can actually wear that isn't just T-shirts, but pants and button-up shirts for not just men, but men as well. And they've got stuff for your dogs, and it's just a really fun line. If you're not familiar with it, you have to come into the store and check it out because it's fun. How can you not like something that has Life is Good on it? We really do a lot of business at our store, and one reason why we do a lot of business is because we make everybody feel very welcome when they come in the door. We don't walk around and hound you, but when you walk in the door, we greet you so you feel like you're welcome. If you're looking at something but you can't reach it, we're right there to offer assistance if you want to get a better look at it. It's just a real comfortable place to be. And we have a lot of repeat customers, not just, from the small locals that are starting to shop down on the Embarcadero, but also from people from the valley that come to the area all the time, repeatedly come to our store to shop. And it's just a really nice feeling. We're there to make everybody feel good. They're already feeling good anyway. They're on vacation, most of them. And so we want to keep them feeling that way. Everybody that works for me knows where the post office is and how do you get to the Rock. Can you drive there? Can you walk there? We tell people about the Natural History Museum and the elephant seals and, the monarch butterfly Reserve over in Pismo. And so there's just so many fun things to do in our county that we start a lot of dialogue with the travelers, and next thing you know, you actually have something in common with them. You know, your brother lives next door to their mother that lives, you know, 200 miles away. But it's a lot of fun to just get to know people. And I know my 3 minutes probably isn't done. But that's it. Thank you for hearing me out.
Thank you. And it is. It's a lot of fun to go into that store. They have everything from jewelry to clothes to wonderful gift items. It's a really nice place. Take a look. Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay, council announcements. First of all, I had a call from Jude Long at our library. She wanted me to remind everyone that this is the 50th anniversary of National Library Week, and the theme is Join the Circle of Knowledge. And in honor of that, the Morro Bay Library staff is going to be serving homemade cookies each morning as they open at 11 o'clock this week. And also a reminder that Saturday is Spring Craft Day for children, so call and reserve a spot for that activity. Also coming up this weekend, the Yacht Club, their opening day is Sunday, the 20th of April, and they'll have a boat parade at 11:45 and bay races at 1 p.m. And I think that was it for me. Betty? Bill?
No.
Okay.
Nellie? Yeah, I like to shop locally as much as I can, and over the weekend I needed a birthday present, and I went to another great store in Morro Bay called the Bohemian Candle. And it's right next to the Mud Fudge, which is right next to the Gold Tree on Harbor and Main Street. And the nice thing about that place is, again, not a lot of pushiness about selling things, but just a delight in the product that she sells there. The owner, Monica, lives locally. And she creates these candles with great scents in them. And the other thing that she does that's really nice and very sweet customer service, but she will refill candles for you, which is nice, so you don't have to just throw the glass out or recycle it. But you can take it back, and then you can try a different scent that she has. So that's the Bohemian Candle, and I said that she gave me such nice service and the store looks so nice, I wanted to give her a little step up for shopping locally.
We'll have to have her come in sometime. I did forget one other thing. The City of Morro Bay presents the 2008 Be a Waterwise Pro Conserve H2O. It's a poster and slogan contest for kids from kindergarten through sixth grade, and deadline is July 1st. So if you have a budding artist in the family, you might contact the city and find out the details. It's been announced at the schools, and submissions from the general public are welcome if you are of that age. So it's a good contest and teaches the kids about conserving water. We already know they're concerned about not smoking on the beaches, so it's another thing that they can help us be aware of. Okay, tonight we have a special presentation. Every so often we have informational presentations on various subjects. And tonight we have Mike Manchak from the Economic Vitality Corporation to tell us a little bit about what they do, how they do it, and how they're helpful to not only the community as large, but Morro Bay specifically. Mike?
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor and members of the council. My name is Mike Manchak. I'm the president of the Economic Vitality Corporation, or the EVC, as it's otherwise called. And I'm here just to give a very brief presentation, to give an update about the EVC, since the city itself is a supporter of the EVC, and as well talk about a project that we're doing that's relevant to the city of Morro Bay directly, and then lastly bring a client up, a recent client from Morro Bay that is we've helped start a new business. Her name is Carolyn Duell from LML Herbs. When I've got the PowerPoint up, I'll go through that very quickly. But the EVC is a nonprofit organization, been in business for 14 years. I know Janice Peters has been an active board member for quite some time, and now currently Rick Grantham, and I want to thank you both for your participation on the EVC. Also want to recognize Bruce Ambo for working directly with us and helping find ways to collaborate. We are a nonprofit, countywide, provides business resources. We help start and expand businesses. We help create jobs through the businesses that we help. We have a variety of resources that aren't replicated elsewhere in the county. Everything from workshops and seminars to actually guaranteeing business loans. And in the case of Carolyn Duell, she'll talk to you a little bit about that. Okay, computer glitch, no problem. So what we're doing is we're providing resources, and one of these resources is a project I want to talk to you about, which is doing a second industry cluster study. The first study we did last year was for the wine industry countywide. Now, we're doing this for a very particular reason. We're going through each industry sector, and we're trying to evaluate the industries, find out where the strengths and the weaknesses are of those industries. And then from that, try to determine what the economic impacts are of that industry. And so doing, then we can determine how do you create more vitality in that sector, and how do you also create more high-paying jobs out of that sector. So it was that study that determined there's a $1.8 billion wine industry in this county. The second study is one which we're currently underway with, and that's for the county's tourism industry. So we just launched the study. We hired a firm that is very well known in the state of California by the name of Strategic Marketing Group, and they've started a countywide study. As a part of this study, the communities throughout the county can commission their own study specific to their own community. All right. So several cities have signed up for such a study, and I really want to encourage the city of Morro Bay to seriously consider doing the same. The deadline for doing that will be mid-May, but it will not only provide the kind of information which will help this absolutely key industry in this city, but it will also provide a marketing plan for the city of Morro Bay, for its tourism industry. The economy is fairly soft all throughout the county, and there are certain industries which are hit harder than others. But this tourism industry, we know, is being hit fairly hard. One of the sources of information we have is Dr. Bill Watkins, who comes to the county every November, and he does a countywide economic forecast. And he suggested in his forecast that both the tourism industry and the ag industry have a very good year in 2008. We're hoping that that's the case. But it still means that through such a study, we can also provide the kinds of information that the city doesn't have about its tourists. Not a problem. I'll just do without the PowerPoint, actually. But I want to leave enough time for questions about the study, and also want to give enough time for Carolyn Duell to come up and talk a little bit about her business. What we're doing, again, we're helping people start a business in whatever way we can do that, whether it's guaranteeing a loan, whether it's resources like venture capital. We recently had an event where we bring venture capitalists from all over the state, and they connect with the businesses that are here locally in this county, because otherwise those businesses would have to go and find these people, and that's a very difficult task to do. So with that, I will wrap up by allowing Caroline to come up and talk a little bit about her business, and then I want to take any questions that you might have after doing that. But I want to also just reiterate, I want to thank very, very much the City of Morro Bay for its support of the EBC, because without that support, we wouldn't be able to help businesses like Caroline's start or grow in this county. Caroline, if you can come up.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi.
My name is Caroline Duell, as Mike said, and my business is called Elemental Herbs. And we started in Morro Bay in 2005, kind of end of 2005. And what we do is we sell organic herbal healing products that are useful every day. And I'd love if I could get you to bring that up to those guys.
Absolutely.
And wait, one more thing, too. So what Mike's going to bring up here is our product line. You can pass it around. And then there's a box of lip balms in there. I'd love for you guys to each take one. First, I just want to say I appreciate the opportunity to meet you all and to introduce myself. And most importantly, it really is an honor to do business in Morro Bay. It is a great town. I'm not from here. I moved here from Colorado. It kind of reminds me of my hometown in Colorado, but it's rare to have a place where I can go park my car and walk to the post office, the health food store, the bank, the printers. I use ASAP Graphics, local printers, and it's just a fantastic town. I love it. The EVC has been amazing for us. I walked into David Muklar's office, Mike Manchek's partner, and I heard about the EVC and heard about what they do for the community and for businesses, and I didn't have a whole lot of confidence in what we were doing, but I knew that I was running out of money and I needed to have some help if I was going to keep going. But I walked into the office thinking it'd be great to have some help, and I walked out with a direct introduction to a bank loan officer and a guarantee to have our loan backed by a local bank. So that was amazing. Since then, that was in September. The loan went through basically November, December of 07. And since then, we've hired an assistant. We've brought on three new products. One of them, we've gotten certified organic. We've increased our distribution by a third again. We now are in 24 states with 200 different accounts. And we became a corporation. And we started a program that sponsors activist athletes, which is, and there's none other like it in the country. We have athletes that we sponsor that are pros that also dedicate their heart and soul to environmental causes. And last thing we did was started a program for private labeling lip balms. So not only are we building our own brand, but we are able to get some cash flow by doing larger orders for people who'd like to have their name or their city or their business or anything on an organic lip balm. Our last one we did was for Jim Patterson's campaign. So thank you very much.
That's
and
great.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Oh, I should also say we're available in about 30 stores in the county and 5 in Morro Bay. And now I have 2 more ideas for other stores, so thanks.
Thank you. And also, I will leave a stack of our latest newsletters in the lobby for everyone to see. If they need help, they can contact us. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you, Mike. Okay. Thank you. And now we'll move on to closed session report. Rob?
Yes, good evening. Prior to tonight's session, council met in closed session. They also met on Friday, but the one today, they met dealing with real property transactions, dealing with 6 different lease sites: Whale's Tail, Salt Building, Rose's Landing, the Galley, Tognazzini's, and the Krills. As to all these lease sites, no action was taken that requires reporting. Also, they discussed a conference with labor negotiator regarding the terms and conditions of compensation paid to employees. And then the last item was personnel issues dealing with the city manager. This was a continuation from Friday when council interviewed candidates for the city manager position. No action was taken on this matter. The council is doing background checks on certain of the candidates, and a decision will be made at a later time.
Okay, thank you. Now we'll go to the public comment period. Please come forward. Limit your comments to 3 minutes. And okay.
Jim Bianchi, resident of Morro Bay. I've passed out some papers. Should be one package for each of you. I'm going to take you through these pretty quickly. But going back to last year, it's clear that on August 27th, you as a group found unanimously for the homeowners of Track 41 concerning a lot split issue. The homeowners, we talked, and to avoid going through this again, we wrote 2 amendments to the statutes that we proposed to you. We passed out copies on the next meeting on September 10th, and on that meeting, the majority of the council wanted this placed on the agenda in November. Ms. Bauer, Bridget, is not here tonight, but I don't know if she would recall, but because I was interested, she called me in late October saying it's on agenda, and I said, fine. I went to the planning department, and I gave a copy of those statute proposals to Mike Prater just to make sure he had them. Sometime later, I'm not sure when exactly, she called and said, no, it's been put off because Mr. Ambo wants to study this and put it together with their general plan issues they're discussing, and it'll be sometime after the first of the year. We had a date on the agenda for January 28th, but on that date, Mr. Prater was ill, and again, Bridget called me and said, don't bother showing up. It can't happen. I said, fine. So we were all here on February 11th. On that date, the council decided that it would adopt such an ordinance, but at the request of Mr. Ambo, allowed Mr. Ambo 60 days or 2 months to, if he wanted to take a look at it, to work with the Planning Commission, get the Planning Commission's input, and report back to you. I would say, first of all, that it was supposed to be on the agenda for November, and it wasn't. And that was kind of a unilateral thing done by Mr. Ambo. Secondly, the reason for the extension of an additional 3 months was so that Mr. Ambo could do some work. And yet, when we arrived here on February 11th, the position was, we're against it. And by the way, we would like a couple of months to work on this. And Mr. Ambo's comment was, I don't know anything about this. So here we are. The 60 days has gone by. Today is April 14th. And I've been following the agendas, and as far as I can tell, this has not been put on the agenda with the Planning Department. Mr. Ambo is not here ready to report back to you what he thinks the final wording of the statute ought to be. And from the way I read the city's organization and the city's statutes, you are entitled, as a city's legislature, to pass this ordinance without any further input. We would ask that you put this on agenda for the next meeting and pass the statute that you think ought to be passed. Thank you.
My name is Joe Attenello. I live at 790 Cabrillo in Morro Bay. And I'll just follow up a little bit with what Jim's talking about. Since August 27th, as he indicated, the City Council has agreed with us that splitting lots in the Cabrillo Place neighborhood, namely Track 41, was out of character as required by the city's general plan. At the February 11th council meeting, you unanimously directed the city staff to present the documents we provided against splitting lots to the Planning Commission and to return the commission recommendation to the City Council within 2 months. So that there can be no doubt as to your specific direction to the staff, I'd like to have AGP play back an excerpt from that February 11th meeting.
When we made that last decision, we did ask that, okay, we come back and consider this. So we're doing that now. We're seeing, you know, what staff's opinion is on it. That's fine. We're not agreeing with them. That's also fine. So we are going to side, I think, with the property owners and ask that, you know, staff consider to actually present to the Planning Commission wording that would change it so that no subdivisions are allowed in this area, Tract 41, Golden Tee, whatever you want to call it. But to take that through the process at our request, and ultimately it'll come back to us for approval.
Madam Mayor, may
yes.
I make a motion?
You certainly may.
I would make the motion that to direct staff to present the document that we were given from the neighborhood of Track 41 tonight to the Planning Commission, and as a presentation to that body and any other document they may wish to their own, and that ask the Planning Commission to send us back a recommendation.
Okay, do I hear a second?
And I would, if I might, I would put a time limit on that it come back within a couple of months, if not sooner.
Is that reasonable?
Well, that's the next question. Do you want this to come back before the compatibility standards or the housing element?
Absolutely.
Okay, so then we're gonna move compatibility standards down, and we're gonna come back with a subdivision amendment and begin that amendment process before we do the follow-up and drafting code for the compatibility standards and before Mike starts updating the housing element. Mm-hmm.
So that's okay with everyone? Okay.
Yeah, and Mr. Ambo, I don't see this taking 100 hours.
No, it doesn't take 100 hours, but he's already been telling me how, you know, we have to understand we're short-staffed and overworked, and it's not.
Okay, those 2 months have passed, and it appears that nothing has been done in this regard. We are beginning to question the lack of response by staff and, quite frankly, your control of this situation. So we'd certainly like you to address this eminently. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm Hank Roth, Morro Bay. Earlier this month, the Morro Bay Neighborhood Watch Association had a booth at the Cookie Crock grand opening. There was a good turnout of citizens interested in the many benefits that an active neighborhood watch program can provide. Citizens also had an opportunity to enter a drawing for many fabulous prizes, and as promised, here are the winners. The winner of the $50 gift certificate for the Garden Gallery Square in Embarcadero is D. Chapman of Morro Bay. Garden Gallery is known for the gorgeous nursery plants and high-quality gift items. The winner of the gift certificate for a one-hour massage by Body Works by Heidi on Main is Vicky Hess of Morro Bay. Heidi offers a traditional Swedish massage that will leave you feeling relaxed and revitalized. The winner of the Pass for Two Tour of Hearst Castle is Anna Negrante of Cayucas. This pass combines Tour One of the estate with the giant screen companion film Hearst Castle Building the Dream. The winner of the $35 gift certificate for Dorn's Breakers Cafe is Dennis O'Toole of Morro Bay. Dorn's is well known for its delicious preparation of fresh local fish and a magnificent view of the bay. The winner of the $30 dinner gift certificate from Sea Chest Restaurant in Cambria is Jeannie Small of Morro Bay. The Sea Chest is well known for its oyster bar and fresh seafood dinners. The winner of the $20 gift certificate from Coles Bookstore is Mayor Nemeth of Morro Bay. Coles is a unique bookstore in Wedding Chapel on Main Street. The winner of the gift certificate for the one-hour massage by Nare, owner of traditional Thai, foot, and therapeutic massage, is Lovey Blackburn of Morro Bay. Nare's business is located on Morro Bay Boulevard across from the police department. And my favorite, the winner of the $50 Chevron gas gift certificate is Susan Erickson of Morro Bay. Morro Bay Chevron on the corner of Main Street and Atascadero Road offers friendly service and a well-stocked mini mart. My thanks to all the Neighborhood Watch volunteers that manned the booth at Cookie Crock, Chuck Rose, Virginia Hedamatsu, Susan Shaw, Susan Heineman, and Ed and Nancy Krovis. And especially my thanks to all the folks that stopped by to find out more about Morro Bay Neighborhood Watch and how this program of mutual assistance can provide us with a safer and more secure community. Thank you.
Thank you. For those of you unfamiliar with how we work it, we usually line people up who want to talk over here on the wall.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. For those of you who do not know who I am, my name is Ani Lin. I am the membership director for the Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce, and we've been invited to come here and share our stats from the month of March with you. There was a total of 959 phone calls. We had a total of 1,693 visitors. There was 377 lodging referrals, 448 dining referrals, 548 recreation referrals, 314 retail referrals, 43 real estate referrals, and 544 event referrals, for a total of 2,274 referrals in the month of March. On our website, we have 21,920 sessions with 667,446 hits. So that's how your visitor center and chamber is working for you, one of the ways. Thank you.
Good news.
Good evening. My name is Marla Jo Bouton, and I am a resident of North Morro Bay. I'm here speaking in regards to the study that the city had Cleath and Associates do concerning the Morro Basin nitrate study. My colleagues and I have prepared another full report analysis of that Cleath study, and we have found serious, what we believe to be serious concerns with that study. Anyway, I'll just give you a brief taste this evening. EPA regulations require that managers of community water systems prepare an annual consumer confidence report on the source of their drinking water and the levels of contaminants found in the drinking water. Here are the nitrate levels reported in Morro Bay consumer confidence reports for the years 2002 through 2005. The high end of the ranges reported for well water never exceeded 41. Yeah, I guess you can't see that very well. But the next slide shows a chart from the recently completed Cleath nitrate study. It shows nitrate levels in Morro Bay well MB3. These aren't showing up. Anyway, the red line shows the safe drinking water level for 45 milligrams per liter. The following slide shows the details of the spikes at the right side of the chart. Each of the vertical blue lines represents the month of January for the years 2002 through 2007. The chart shows that nitrate levels in that well exceeded the maximum contaminant level every year from 2002 on. In addition, the Cleath study states that this is not the only well where maximum contaminant levels were exceeded. Yet, our Morro Bay consumer confidence reports stated the nitrate levels in well water were well within the allowable limits of drinking water. Now, if we can look back at the first slide. Let's look at that first slide with another added detail. Do you see the letter A next to the well water data for the year 2002? It only appeared in the report for 2002. That letter refers to a footnote that says, measured at the King Street tanks after blending with state water and or desal water.
Could you conclude, please, Marla?
Thank you. Slide 4. Evidently, in 2002, the nitrate figures in our consumer confidence reports
Marla,
were not...
I asked you to conclude, please, not go on.
So, Madam Mayor, may I have some indulgence from you to complete
this? I'm sorry. It's a three-minute limit.
Okay, well...
Please sum it up and let somebody else finish if you'd like. Okay?
No, I want to talk to the people of Morro Bay. We have an extremely serious problem with our staff and with our city council and the mayor for not allowing me to continue this.
Okay,
we
you.
Have reports we're not
thank
giving
you, Marla,
to you.
Stated it.
They are at state water level.
Thank you, Marla. We've stated
and the governor's
it.
Office and the attorney
thank
general's
you.
Office.
All right, we're going to go.
And if
break.
You don't want
right.
to hear from
mic's
me.
Mic's off. We're taking a break. Well, yeah, but it's not on the speaker yet. There we go. Okay.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council. My name is Kathy Novak. This evening I'm here as the chair of the Central Coast Natural History Association, and I wanted to take this opportunity to let you know that we've hired a new executive director. Her name is Mary Golden, and I wanted to bring her tonight. I'll have Mary say a couple of words. Her official first day starts tomorrow. Her office will be down in the Natural History Museum, so I hope you stop by and see her and also look for her around the community. So I've invited Mary to say a couple things.
Thank you, Kathy. I'm very excited to work with the Natural History Association. First day is tomorrow, and also very excited to work with our state parks and the local community. We'll be working very hard this spring on the Save Our State Parks campaign to make sure that our state parks stay open for not only the local community, but our industry as well. Thank you.
Great. Congratulations, and welcome to Morro Bay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do I use this or
that? Yes, use the handheld.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and Council. My name is Kathy Wells, longtime resident and homeowner in Morro Bay. I usually prefer not to join in as a commentator because as long as we've had the City Council and Mayor, our voices have been like talking to a wall. First, I would like to inform the citizens of Morro Bay, if they are tired of all the double talk and half-truths we've been embedded with the past few years from this council and mayor, please Google Morro Bay Solo Sailor. It certainly speaks the truth about our council and mayor. Some enlightening information that you will find on this website is all about the so-called price of the $95,000 generator our city is purchasing, all about our mayor's grand experience as a freelance photographer. Yes, that's business. Evidently, where your business experience has gotten us as a city is barely able to hold our heads above the water. The website is updated regularly, so it's really something all citizens should check out. And best of all, Cal Poly has a website where the students may evaluate their professors.
Excuse me.
Might as well check this out as long as these students spend a lot more time with Melody DeMarit than any of us.
Don't allow personal attacks in public comments.
Okay, Ms. Peters, Ms. Mayor Peters, can I not exercise my First Amendment right in this town?
You cannot make personal attacks.
Okay, then let me continue my letter. You're taking up my 3 minutes. I'm sure most of us agree that our big complaint about this council and mayor is that we don't get straight talk or the truth. Obviously, that's all bothering you right now. I think it's time all of you leave your egos and special interest needs at the door and step down for the good of our city. I beg our citizens to elect a new council, thus a new beginning for Morro Bay, the obvious solution for change. The definition of insanity is doing the same things repeatedly, expecting different results. Undoubtedly, this can be applied to electing the same people and somehow expecting changes. This just isn't going to happen. Unfortunately, history has proven this with all of you up there. And to all of the new faces running for positions in our city government, do not worry. If your speeches do not seem as eloquently prepared as our current elected officials, you must remember they have become experts in preparing endless, meaningless speeches and responses which can only lead as an equal to your favorite sleep time aide. If we don't change the faces on the city council and mayoral seat, nothing will change. We might as well invest our money in ordering reruns from AGP from our past city council meetings. Our new roundabout in Morro Bay could not better describe our current leadership, a big non-committal circle of half-truths and what I could not better describe as one big circle jerk. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
That's an obscenity. That's an obscenity, by the way.
I would ask future speakers to please keep their language clean.
Okay. Susan Heineman, resident of Morro Bay. Mayor, city council persons, viewers at home, and here in the audience. Sunday, April 27th, 13 days from now, is the 22nd annual AAUW Spring Garden Tour. The tickets are $10. There are 6 gardens amongst Morro Bay, Cayucas, and Los Osos with 1 cookie stop. Tickets can be purchased at Coalesce Bookstore, Volumes of Pleasure, at all minor hardware stores, and at Pacific Coast Home and Garden Store in San Luis Obispo. A significant portion of the profits from the garden tour go to finance scholarships for the week-long Tech Trek Science Camp. It is an honor to be selected for this program, as only scholarship recipients can attend. Tonight, I would like to introduce you and have you meet this year's winners, Ella Moberg and Jennifer Baltimore from Los Osos Middle School, to show you why, with the help through the purchase of tickets, we work so hard to make the garden tour a success. Each student would have her own time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Mayor, City Council staff, and television viewers, my name is Ella Moberg, and I'm a resident of Los Osos. I am in 7th grade at Los Osos Middle School. Science is my favorite subject. This year in science, I was lucky enough to be able to dissect squid. It was a lot of fun. my science teacher, Mrs. Stoneman, brought in the squid from the local fish market. We dissected all the different parts and examined them carefully. Then when we were done, she cooked up the squid and we got to eat it. Tasted pretty good. I would like to thank my science teacher, Mrs. Stoneman, and our student teacher, Ms. Hernandez, for their wonderful job teaching us and giving us all these wonderful opportunities. I want to be a veterinarian when I grow up because I love animals. I have a dog, and she's a German Shepherd. I'm especially looking forward to going to Tech Trek. They have many different classes that I'm looking forward to attending. One of the ones I'm especially looking forward to attending is CSI Tech Trek. We solve mysteries using DNA and other scientific evidence. I would like to thank the AAUW members for their hard work in giving me this wonderful opportunity to attend one of the best science camps ever, and I hope all the viewers buy tickets to the wonderful 27th of April Garden Tour. It's fantastic, I've been, and it supports the scholarships to go to me and my fellow students, and I hope you all can attend. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Let's not get into clapping for everything. Awards and things, that's one thing, but let's not, because then we get into the other side and we don't want to go there. Thank you.
Madam Mayor, City Council members, staff, and television viewers. My name is Jennifer Baltimore, and I'm a resident of Los Osos. I'm in 7th grade at Los Osos Middle School. I really like softball, dance, and music. I play the flute in band, and I take lessons. I've been taking piano lessons for 6 years. I have some very unusual collections. I collect Super Balls. At the moment, I have 136 of them. I also have rubber duckies, and although I don't have many actual rubber duckies, I have tons of rubber ducky knickknacks, like shower curtains and washcloths and zipper pulls and all sorts of things. I'm really excited about the opportunity to attend Tech Trek this year. Math is my favorite subject, but science is getting closer and closer to the top. I like math because everything fits together and it doesn't change. 1 + 1 will always be 2, unlike some other subjects that may change with new evidence. And science I like because we are doing more and more experiments as the year, or as the grades go on. When I was little, I wanted to be an astronaut, and Tech Trek has a few courses on aeronautics. And I'm also thinking about being a teacher, and so at Tech Trek, I'll be learning some cool projects. I'd like to share with you one of the classes I look forward to at this year's camp. Building Bridges by Eileen McDonald. Not only do you get to plan, design, and build scale models of bridges out of toothpicks, you get to gather your own materials, keep in inventories, and balance sheets. And it's not just the idea of building bridges out of toothpicks that excites me. It's my dad. He teaches his students how to build toothpick bridges, and I see them all the time in his office. So this year I'll get to build one of my own. I'd like to thank the American Association of University Women for this wonderful opportunity to learn in a hands-on environment as well as having fun being at Cal State Fresno. And I want to thank all of you who have bought the tickets to the garden tour and giving me the chance to go to Tech Trek this year. Thank you.
Thank you. Please, 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 wave your hands. Wave your hands. Instead of applauding, please wave your hands in support.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Kellyanne Rowe, and I'm a Body Shop at Home consultant. And for those who don't know, Body Shop is health and body care and hair care. But the Body Shop also has another side to them. It's a nonprofit organization called Stop Violence in the Home. And this April, they carry soaps as part of their products. And if you can see as the screen, they've lowered the price of their soaps to $2. And when with your donation of $2, I'm collecting all our soaps and distributing them to women's shelters here in the area. So come around Mother's Day, women and children who would normally have nothing will be getting gifts from all the local Central Coast supporters. With Mother's Day soon approaching, the special is the April 1st through the 30th with a 7 to 10 day shipping period for the soaps to come, so I'm trying to get everything collected by the 21st at the very latest. My personal goal is to have 1,000 bars of soap to distribute. Our team in the area wants to have 1,000 bars, but I want to pull 1,000 bars on my own so I can really make a difference. I'm distributing soaps from San Miguel to Santa Barbara. I'm here after the meeting to take orders of support and have any questions about my business or about the organization itself. I'm more than happy to answer any questions anyone may have. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Kelly.
Good evening. Geez, I need a speech class from that child. She was wonderful. Anyway, good evening. This is Susan Meharry, and I'm Marlise Battistella, and we're here on behalf of the Central Coast Women for Fisheries. Susan is the chair of our memorial committee, and I am the president. And we are so pleased to be here tonight. We were late. I apologize for that. Our proposed memorial project was the brainchild of Susan Meharry and her mother, Barbara Cefalu. And CCWF felt that this was a very rewarding endeavor for our women's organizations to be shared by all and for generations to come. So on September of 07, Susan and her mother started researching this project, and here we are today. And throughout history, families of seafarers have bid their loved ones farewell and have waited for their loved ones to return from the sea. This is a very lonely and long process. A memorial will be a comfort and a support for some and a gathering place for others to bring strength. If you have ever seen the movie, The French Lieutenant's Woman, you will recall the endless hours she walked the bluffs with hope for his return. This movie depicts the process that one goes through while waiting. Our proposed site of the Target Rock area is honestly the only area that we feel is appropriate for our memorial. The project will be a monumental endeavor for CCWF, but we're up to it. The Parks and Recreation Department have approved our proposed project, and the fact that the City Council is even considering our request displays to us that a memorial for those who wait is doable. We truly appreciate your time, and we won't let you down, right, Susan?
Not really.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you have any questions? Can we hand out something to you?
Of course, yes.
You can give it
to the city attorney over there, and he'll pass it
around. Thank you.
Okay. And we'll be looking at that later in our agenda.
And we are having a general membership meeting on the 16th of May on the Chablis. And anyone who's a member and who's not a member and think they want to be may attend.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Judy Brown. I live at 1045 Alessandro Street in Morro Bay. And I can't stay for our full meeting tonight, but I would like to address agenda item D2 during the public comment period on behalf of myself and 9 neighbors who reside within close proximity of the Paw Spa boarding kennel. Our neighborhood experienced several years of noise and excrement problems under the current owner of Paw Spa, and we sought help from the city. And many thanks to Councilperson Winholtz and Mayor Peters for your participation. Eventually, our neighborhood was referred to County Animal Services. Following a several-year ordeal with this agency, they determined the kennel was not a nuisance despite well-documented video, written, and verbal evidence, and would not accept further complaints from our neighborhood for a period of 1 year. This resulted in no accountability for the Paw Spa and no recourse for the neighborhood should further disruption occur. There have been several recent noise incidences on weekends when the Paw Spa owner is absent, and the excrement-related problem with flies has returned. Animal Services is currently under investigation by the grand jury, San Luis Obispo County Supervisor, and the Humane Society of the United States for operating complaints consistent with those our neighborhood experienced with this agency.
Mayor, council, staff, my name is Keith Taylor. I'm a resident of Morro Bay. I'm here first to speak to a program called the CERT program, and I was lucky enough to take it last year. And it's really a great program in a case of an emergency, whether we have an earthquake or whatever. You learn how to do a lot of things to help your neighbors. In our little town, we all have to help each other. So I would recommend this to anyone. A lot of the classes that they teach are really valuable. The chief can go into more of it. He gave me this, but I would encourage anyone to go to this class. The main reason I'm here to speak is this weekend, as we all know, we had the Morro Bay City yard sale. The friends of the police department and fire department went together and we had an area at Napa and Morro Bay Boulevard. And I want to thank all the people that were there to sell the stuff and the people that came and bought it. They were great. And what was really nice about this, because it was for our police and our fire, you could have an item up for, say, $3, and the guy would give you $5 and say, keep the change, and we'd have yelling and screaming. It was just a lot of fun. And I just want to say thank you to everyone and to Dan Riddell for letting us use that area and the people that both worked on security and sales and everything else. And we were very successful. I can't tell you exactly the final count because Dale Riddell's counting, and he has to take his shoes off and everything to get the count right. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Emily Hansen. I'm the district executive for the Boy Scouts in South County. Our district is actually called Camino Real. And I have a report for 2007, what the Boy Scouts was up to locally. And I also have a really great young Eagle Scout that now attends Cal Poly, Joe Hernai, who lives here. And he wants to say a few words about scouting. Thank you.
Hi. As Emily said, my name is Joe Hernai. I was raised in Los Osos. I go to Cal Poly. I work in Morro Bay, and my parents are also business owners in Morro Bay. So, anyway, Emily asked me to talk a little bit about what Scouts has done for me and my peers in the community. I'd like to start by saying that Scouting is a great program because of the leadership opportunities it provides young men. Personally, I held several leadership positions in the Boy Scouts of America, and consequently, I believe it led to my ability to be a captain on my football team at Morro Bay High School and participate in the Associated Student Body as a leader. Additionally, scouting provided me with the experience to become my high school's school board representative to the school board, and that was a good experience because it taught me public speaking and things like that. I also served as crew leader for a group of 12 boys twice on 50-mile backpacking trips in New Mexico over 2 summers. And those were really good experiences, 12 days in the middle of nowhere with 12 other guys. You really get to know each other and kind of what you're made of. You learn a lot. The older scouts help the younger scouts. The younger scouts keep the older scouts interested and excited. I would also say that scouting helped me get into Cal Poly, and I don't know whether actually putting Eagle Scout on my Cal Poly application is what did it for me, or just indirectly the skills that I've learned in the process of becoming an Eagle Scout, but I'm sure that both of them contributed. Additionally, my Eagle Scout project was building benches on the Bluffs Trail in Montaña de Oro, and I don't know if you've ever been out there or if you've been out there recently, but I've heard from several people that they enjoy them, and it's rewarding, I guess I would say. Additionally, merit badges are a large part of the Boy Scouting program, and merit badges are where you work on specific skills, and as well as the actual work that you do on the merit badge, it teaches you paperwork skills, how to hold on to paperwork, how to turn in paperwork, how to work with adults who you don't already know to obtain these skills, learn trade-type things, I guess I would say. My major at Cal Poly is forestry and natural resources, which is undoubtedly influenced by my experience in scouting. I would also say that my first aid experience that I've learned in scouting is of tremendous value to me. The first aid merit badge and a lot of other things that require first aid knowledge I find extremely valuable. If not for the fact that I can treat myself, but I know that if I'm on a backpacking trip in New Mexico in the middle of nowhere with my buddies and one of them breaks his ankle, I can treat him and I can get him out safely, so that's of value. As a culmination to my little talk here, I'd like to say that any program that ends with the person who's successfully completing it, creating a project that benefits his community, such as building a bench,
wrap it up. Okay.
Is a program that is worth value to you. And we appreciate any support you give us.
Thank you. Please. We can't get into that. Thank you.
Hello?
There you go.
Okay, there we go. Hi, my name is Joan Solu, and I'm here in threefold tonight. The first one is I'm a resident of Morro Bay, and I'm a business owner. I'm sure you know I own the Days Inn with my husband up on the corner of Beach and Main Street. I'm just coming to you because I saw that the BID is on the agenda for this evening, and I want to let you know that I'm sure you've read in the newspaper that it has been pushed out by the County Board of Supes until September, and that was because the county clerk actually, there was an error on the noticing procedure, and there were some areas of the county, unincorporated areas, that were improperly noticed. And that is why there is an extension until September 18th on that. All of the hoteliers are still on board and are pushing forward, and you probably know that there's a new BID board, and of course, my husband is heavily involved with that because he's chairing it up. And I'd like to thank all of the candidates also in the area for the future site of the end of the boardwalk, the extension of what may be called Coleman Park, and that area that's being thought of for the future for redevelopment. It is a beautiful project, and we unanimously voted yes for it, and we hope that you too will support it. Thirdly, I'd like to speak to you as Joan Solo, the private citizen this evening. I'd like to come out and personally thank the police and fire department and Janice Peters for supporting the Ride of a Lifetime at the Del Mar Art Auction that just happened last weekend. Last year, that sold for $300. I want to let you know that there was a bidding war on it, and it went for $900 this year. In addition to that, last year, the Fireman's Dinner sold for $280, and there was a bidding war on that, and it sold for $600 on Sunday. And happily, I can say that I am the recipient of that dinner because friends from out of town purchased it for my family as a gift. And so we were thrilled with that. So we'll be seeing you for dinner, and I'll be seeing you at the Ride of a Lifetime. And if you didn't make it out to the event, I hope you do next year. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, members of the council. My name is John Barta. I want to speak to you on a couple items tonight. First is item D1, the BID. This should be a no-brainer. I mean, what it really is an opportunity for businesses to tax themselves and spend and guarantee that the money will be spent on promotion. You know, you guys should be behind this 1,000% if possible. And it really, though, also reflects another problem, which is that in the past, this council and other councils, I'm sure, as well, have cut the amount that they've spent on community promotion. I think we're down to about half of what it once was at its peak. But again, when times get tough, you advertise more, not less, because that's what brings the money in, is the tourists that come, and you need to reach out a little more to bring them in tough times, especially now with high gas prices and stuff like that. I'd also like to speak to you about item D4. This is an item to try and remove the concept of a roundabout at San Jacinto and Main Street from your future planning agenda. Now, this is nothing that would happen anytime soon in any event, but I can't imagine taking this thing off of a future list when in another 2 months you're going to have a brand new roundabout for everybody to try. And my prediction is if you put this item back until about August or September, you're going to find that nobody is really against roundabouts after they've tried them out. My prediction is it's going to be a little rough getting the roundabouts built, and there are going to be traffic delays and so forth, and that will be very irritating. But once it's in and once people start using it, it's going to be okay. And I guess that covers it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, members of the council. My name is Roger Ewing, Morro Bay resident, and I'd like to, it's been a rather eclectic evening tonight. I'd like to address two items. D2, that there's some legal ramifications involving the appellants receiving a refund of their fees. This bothers me greatly because each one of you voted unanimously to have the appellants on the cell phone tower receive their appeal fee, which they paid $1,350 for. Each one of you said, yes, they deserve it. They won the appeal. Give them the fee back. And now I understand they are not to get their fee back, fee returned to them, refunded. Your credibility as representatives of the city of Morro Bay is at stake. You told those two individuals, those two citizens, they could have their fee back. And just because Verizon or whoever it is, Sprint Nextel, is suing the city because they don't like the fact that you denied their appeal, is wrong that you take it out on the appellants. Please, do the right thing. Do what's fair. You promised them the fund, refund the fee. Give them to it. Give them the fee back, please. It's a separate item. Nextel can sue the city all they want, but that shouldn't affect your word and your vote and your motion, which was to give them the feedback. Please, don't delay it any longer. You're not looking good if you allow staff to overturn your motions. Staff may have their own agenda, but the people of Morro Bay deserve better. So I'm counting on you to give them the refund. Thank you. Have a good meeting.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Bill Martini, Morro Bay. I came here tonight to speak on C2. I understand you're not allowed to comment during that period, so I just wanted to comment now. It came up when I read the article in the paper today, which I'm sure a lot of people read. In fact, a lot of people, friends of ours from Cayucas, are here. As far as opposed to the skateboard park, I know with you it's a slightly different issue, and it has to do with potentially monetarily having to pay part of the maintenance fees. I wanted to, first off, give you a little bit of the background. That was started off originally as a bit of a surplus county property. And when Norma Rose, who we know, originally talked about having a park there, it was supposed to be a passive park, you know, a couple benches in that. And the people in Cayucas, for the most part, the neighbors in the neighborhood are adamantly opposed to a skateboard park next to the Cayucas Cemetery. There are friends of ours buried there. There's people here with friends buried there. We just think it's very inappropriate. And I realize this is not exactly your agenda tonight, but I don't think a letter in support of the skateboard park, and I'm not sure if you're for or against, or I'm not sure how it's going to breach, because number one, visually from Highway 1, that's a scenic corridor. I know the town of, or the village of Cayucas has been after us on a viewshed ordinance all the way 9 miles behind town, and then they put a skateboard park right next to the cemetery. Hardy Park is an excellent location they should have thought about. It's next to theirs.
Good evening. I'm Richard Dunn from Cayucas. I appreciate you letting outside foreigners speak down here, but I thought it was important enough to come all the way from Cayucas to give you my opinion about the skateboard park and how it's such a poor way, a poor location to place it next to our cemetery that I think it would be a travesty. It would be an eyesore and an earsore, and I think that tourists, having seen the beautiful Morro Rock, now proceeding north, and they come to Cayucas, and this is all we have to offer them as an entranceway, but nevertheless, it's all we got, and we hate to see it invaded by people who are more intent on the use of the area for skateboarding and for basketball than for the proper respect that would be given to the cemetery. There's a much better location that I would like to suggest, which is just across the street, across Highway 1 and Morro Strand Park. I know it's operated and owned by the state, but the state has announced that it's hard up for money, and I think that with the proper persuasion from the county, there could be some kind of an alliance made between county and state, especially if they knew we had a few extra bucks to put in to put the skateboard park over there where all the other activities of kids belong. It would be, they have the restrooms, and there's plenty of room for the skateboard park and a basketball court. I think that there would be no need to have a $70,000 fee to have to supervise this. It would still be under the supervision of the state. So I ask that you go ahead and consider the skateboard park, not where it will interfere with the proper use of the cemetery area, but instead on the other side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Mayor and City Council, my name is Meredy League. I'm a resident of Morro Bay. My husband and I, George, would like to invite everyone Friday night at 5 p.m. to a luau at the Harbor Hut at 1205 Embarcadero. George League for Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor, Council members. My name is George Lewis, and I'm afraid I'm at fault to be concrete. So, I encourage you to send that letter. Thank you.
Thank you.
Honorable Mayor, Council, staff, friends, and friends at home, I'm Joey Ricano. I am currently a Morro Bay City Council candidate. I come to you tonight with some concern, and my concern is this. At a time when we have a pressing situation with our water, with our sewage treatment facility, an upgrade possibly to tertiary treatment, endocrine disruptors, whether it's hurting the water, whether it's not. We have nitrates in the groundwater. There's all types of water issues facing us right now. And also, at the same time, we have an election with many fine candidates. Issues are flying back and forth. It's a tribute to democracy. It's awesome to be involved. But my concern is this. The last JPA meeting, the Joint Powers Agreement meeting between the Morro Bay City Council and the Cayucas Sanitary District was canceled. And then the next meeting between the JPA was postponed. So now what we're faced with is a time when issues that are of paramount importance to the community at large aren't getting the proper sunshine. They're not getting the public airing and vetting that they should be getting. I urge you to make sure that months do not go by and a joint powers agreement meeting does not take place till after the primary election for 2008. I think that flies in the face of democracy and also in the face of the public's right to know. So I thank you, and I conclude, and I hope you'll give my comments some consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, that was a lot of public comments. All right, let's bring it back to council. There were a couple of things. Either Bruce or Rob, could you respond to the Cabrillo Estates?
Yes,
Madam
Mayor, that will be on the Planning Commission either next month or next week. My old, I know it will be on there no later than next month. My old agenda says the 21st. That may have got moved so that we could have a full planning commission consider it, but we've been drafting code, and that hearing process will begin either at the latest next month, but it could even be next week. But the noticing for that will go out on Wednesday. We'll be sure to notify Mr. Bianchi.
Okay. And the date of the next JPA hearing, you want to go ahead and announce
right.
that, too?
Right. That's May 28th at 6 o'clock in this room. And that the reason why that was postponed is because you have two other special meetings to work on the budget
hearings,
that,
right.
that conflict
right.
with that originally scheduled date.
Okay. Any other comments on comments?
Just a slight comment, and I would like to say that I would like to continue leading the
tax on the people up here. You can comment on decisions we've made, not a problem. No personal attacks, please. It's just not necessary. Okay.
Madam Mayor, before we take our break, I think we, I was thinking maybe someone would, but they haven't. We do have a parade coming up before our next meeting, and we may want to announce that.
Which? Oh, the Morro Bay Parade.
The Morro Bay Parade. This will be 2 weeks from last Saturday, which I believe is the 26th. It will be at 10 o'clock downtown, starting around Piney and Morro Bay Boulevard and going down the boulevard towards Morro Street. So I just wanted to make sure the public is aware of that and hope that they all join us. And I believe is it in conjunction with the Kite Contest?
Festival, right. Yes, the Kite Festival is also on April 26th. And the whole day is built for families and fun, and it's all free to come to the parade and go to the Kite Festival.
Okay. Thank you for reminding us. We'll take a short break. We'll come back to public hearings. Adjustments to harbor fees and service charges.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and Council. This is a proposal to increase harbor department fees and charges commensurate with CPI over the last 3 years. The Harbor Fund has a separate section of the city's master fee schedule. Those fees that are cited in the Harbor's master fee schedule generate almost $300,000 a year in fees and charges revenues to the city. This is generally a 12.1 CPI increase because it is 3 years across the board. I want to point out a couple of things to you. Probably the most important would be a discussion on commercial fishing slip fees. You may remember in 2006, the council agendized an item that was to discuss reducing commercial fishing slip fees, because I think you were hearing from a number of commercial fishermen that there was a crisis in the industry, revenues were down, and I just would remind you at that meeting that you did decide out of a number of options that you were given in a staff report in response to your agendizing the item, that we would offer a deferred opportunity to folks who take advantage of our 10% discount for annual payment of slip fees so that they don't have to pay the annual fees until November instead of as usual in July. So that's what you did in 2006. When we recommended this, we ran this proposal for CPI increases through the Harbor Advisory Board. I wanted to note to you that their recommendation is slightly different than staff's. The Harbor Advisory Board recommends approval of the Harbor Department Master Fee Schedule adjustments with the exception that commercial fishing slips be increased by 6.25 rather than the 12.10 CPI and recommends that fees be reviewed and adjusted annually. So there is a slightly different Harbor Advisory Board recommendation than the staff recommendation at this. And I'd be glad to discuss why if you want to hear, but I'll let you ask that question. One other note, this would also add a ability for us or the authority for us to waive fees for tall ships. I think there's a discussion in the agenda item that in recent years the tall ships haven't become to city facilities. In previous years, say more than 7 or 8 years ago, it happened fairly commonly. We've come to council for a resolution to waive the fees. It'd be better, and if it's going to be happening in the future and this is your desire to waive fees for tall ships for stays of less than 30 days at city facilities that we just included here.
Accept staff's recommendation for the commercial fishing slips rather than the harbor boards for this reason. Even if we raise it to what staff is recommending to $3.90 per foot, it's still only 53%, almost. It's just over half of what other slips are paying that are city-owned. And as we know, the city is cheaper than other slips out in the bay. So I feel like it's already really low as it is. And I tried a small calculation. I'm assuming a 36-foot boat, which is the minimum size. And if you do that and you pay once a year in by September, you're paying about $1,500 a year rent for 12 months, which is really good. So we're talking about $126 per month. So I feel that at the $390, it's okay, rather than lowering it even further.
Okay, Bill?
I have a question for Mr. Algert, since nobody in the audience got up to speak. He said, looking back in that corner. What is the average length of a fishing boat that's normally here in Morro Bay? I know there's some really small ones and there are some pretty good sized ones, but what would you figure is the average?
So 36 is our minimum charge, and almost all the vessels in our slips are 36 foot. The two biggest ones, I think, are the 56 foot vessels. You know, how about 44? Something in that range, something, you know, without doing some calculations, but it's probably 40 to 44 foot vessel.
So 36 is average, you think?
Well, no, I'm sorry. What I was trying to say is the average is closer in the low 40s, probably.
Okay, so 44 would be about average.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any comments?
Well, I could probably be persuaded to go with the Harbor Advisory Board's recommendation, but I know what condition our fishing fleet is in. I know what condition the boats that are earnestly owned and not derelict are, and I know that there's a lot of time that those folks can't fish, and I know with all this vessel locator stuff, it's getting pretty dicey anyway, so I could maybe be persuaded to do the 6.25, but I don't want to go all the way up.
Rick, how many of the 50 slips that are devoted to commercial are going to have to comply with the GPS, never turning your GPS off situation? How many of those? It's for every working boat, isn't it?
I think right now it's for everybody in the groundfish business and the groundfish fishing. I think eventually it's going to be every vessel that has a commercial license. I don't think it's there yet, though.
Which is going to be a substantial cost, because not only do they have to buy the equipment, but it's got to be on 24/7. So at any time they can see where they are.
This is the vessel monitoring system,
right,
that's currently required,
right,
in ground fishing,
right,
and a few other fisheries.
Yeah, and those apply to commercial fishing boats.
Yes.
Okay. So what I would like to see are these boats that have to comply with these.
It's just, yes, not change it at all.
That's right.
Okay, I see. Okay.
I could support that.
Melody?
Well, the hits keep going to the commercial fishermen. I certainly understand that, and I'm sensitive to that, and especially with this new monitoring system they have to do. But the hits keep coming to the city as well. And so I would probably favor going along with the Harbor Commission's recommendation that we don't raise them as much as the others. But I think everybody has to realize that the rates have to go up for the harbor and city to continue to provide services. I also favor waiving the fees for tall ships for less than 30 days. I think that's a great idea. There was one thing I was surprised to see. I know that and I'm glad that Commander Olivas is here so he can help out if we need to. I know that when we send police or fire to assist somebody, that we don't charge people. I believe that's true, right? I mean, they roll their car over or ram it into the side of a house. We don't charge them to.
There's one exception to that. If it's involved with driving under the influence, we do, under the government code, allow for the recovery of the costs. But that's the only government code that allows us to do it.
Okay. Drunk while driving, we'll charge you. But then, so I was surprised, I guess, Rick, to see that it says one patrol officer, one boat per hour. This is vessel assistance. So same thing. Somebody's in trouble or maybe sinking or they've run out of gas. And we're proposing to – we've always charged them $92 per hour, and now we're going to $157. So doesn't this kind of ring like we don't charge on land, but we charge when they're on the bay or the.
I think We had a similar question at the Harbor Advisory Board, and hopefully I give the same answer. It's a fee that we rarely charge. It's a fee that we include in the fee schedule so that we can charge people like filming permits that require boat standby with an officer on it, or sometimes an extra officer. And so it is, you know, there's probably four or five instances in a year typically when we make this charge. We do not charge for routine vessel assistance. So we do routine tows, courtesy boat moves, and vessel assistance throughout the year at this time, mm-hmm. Free of charge. Now, we have had a couple of instances, and we've written it into our rules and regulations, that we would charge this fee in the case of someone who abused the privilege, constantly needed to be moved around by us without their assistance for failure to maintain the vessel or something like that. And there has been a couple of occasions where we've put that in effect. So, but it is certainly not something we use for routine vessel assistance, courtesy tows, things like that.
Thank you. I can certainly appreciate that we'd want to charge if we're helping them with filming and moving things around. Thank you.
Yeah, the design is not unlike a special events permit where you might, if they're additional services required the city, then we will charge them for it.
I have a question too about the Commercial Fishermen's Organization. Were they present at the Harbor Board when they talked about this, and were they in agreement with this half rate rather than the full CPI?
I don't remember the Commercial Fishermen's Organization being at the meeting. The board did receive a letter from the Central Coast Women for Fisheries, which I think is included in your packet, and I don't think that the
that deals with the issue of the use of the hourly staff time. And I'm glad to hear that we do charge at least for events and when people are abusing. I think our staff goes the extra mile in terms of offering service that probably should be charged for. So I would encourage staff to charge more frequently when it's not for an emergency, as it would be with police and fire. Mm-hmm. So I would make that comment. And I'm not sure how long the city can continue to underwrite other people's problems. I think that's where we are with this. You know, people lose their jobs every day, businesses are closing, and we don't try to underwrite their business. And so I'm disappointed that we're not willing to go with staff's recommendation at the full $3.90 a foot. It's already half of what everybody else is being charged by the city again, and again, it's cheaper than any other slip in the bay. And so I think it's only fair to our department and the bills that we have to pay, and it's not that much. If we're talking $15 or $2,000 a year for them to pay rent, I know that it's hard on them. I know it's hard on lots of people, and I think that that's a fair thing.
Well, it makes a difference of $4,000 a year to the city, which isn't that much either. So I just
I'd like to make a motion, and if it crashes and burns, it crashes and burns, but I can still try. I would like to make a motion that we approve the Harbor Department cost of living adjustments to harbor fees and service charges. And as far as our commercial fishing fleet goes, we waive the CPI.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Discussion?
You know, we talk about saving people's livelihoods and stuff. It's government that took these people's livelihoods away. It wasn't anything else. It was government restrictions and regulations. And, you know, this business, this occupation, this livelihood was deeply rooted in this community since the inception of this community. We've done some things to help them along. I think we need to continue to do whatever we can to help them along. I don't think it's going to break the back if we restrict it to our commercial fishing vessels. The salmon season's already been thrown out for this next year. You know, besides the restrictions we put on them, there's the natural things that are happening in nature, in damming up waterways that affects a certain fish availability. again, thanks to the government. I don't think this is a huge step we're taking or a step that's going to hurt us. I think it's a compassionate step, and I'd like to see us do what we can to help our commercial fishing fleet.
Question. Does your motion include the staff recommendation of...
Came back, but we don't have it right now the way we'd like it. They do take up quite a number of running feet down there on the docks. And I think that if we just don't increase them as much as everybody else, that is truly a gift and a favor. But we can't just let them go for nothing, or else everybody else will come and start to yell at us too, and rightfully.
Well, I'm willing to listen to everybody yell at us. That's okay. It comes with the territory. Anything we do to further impact our fishing fleet is going to be harder for them to make a comeback. And if they're going to make a comeback, it's going to be within the next couple of years.
Okay. We'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No. Okay, motion fails. That was Pearson Grantham in favor. Okay, I'll make a motion then that we increase the fees as recommended by staff, except for the commercial fishing slips be increased by 6.25% according to the Harbor Advisory Board recommendation.
Second.
And may I suggest just a slight amendment that we make sure that we put in the waive the fees for the tall ships?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Less than 30-day stays.
Yes. I think that was included in staff's recommendation, but yes, we can specify it. Okay.
That's acceptable.
All right. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay. Rick and Betty opposed that time. All right. So much for our public hearings. Let's go back to, well, let's see. Who's here? Let's go back to consent agenda, I guess. Can I just see one? Okay. I thought everybody left. Okay. Are you here for C1? Okay. Oh, right. Okay. I didn't see who was back there. All right. We'll do C1. Concept approval of Central Coast Women for Fisheries entrance statue. This is one we didn't get to last time, so good to get to it now. And this is Andrea?
Yes, we let Joe go home, and I'm happy to take his staff report this evening. Just a brief staff report for the City Council. The Central Coast Women for Fisheries contacted the Recreation and Parks Commission back in September of 2007 regarding the possibility of a placement of a memorial in the Target Rock area, basically those to memorialize those who are waiting for their fisher people, men and women, to come back from sea. The Recreation and Parks Commission heard this item later in 2007. They unanimously approved the concept, and the reason they approved the concept is to allow the Central Coast Women for Fisheries to begin their fundraising efforts. Tonight, what we're asking the City Council to do, again, is to approve the concept of the statue. We are not asking you to approve the exact placement. We're not asking you to approve the design of the statue. That will all come back at a later time. But they are interested in the Target Rock area. It really does coincide well with the fact that with the Recreation Parks Commission and the Harbor Advisory Board are currently working on the Coleman Morrow Rock Enhancement project, and we're looking at that area in particular. So again, tonight we're asking for you to approve the concept so this group can begin their fundraising efforts, which they have told us will be a fairly large effort to fundraise, and will take some time. They are here this evening. They spoke at public comment. I'm sure they're happy to answer.
Closer back in towards town, right around the end of the construction of the Harbor Walk there. I was just parking there to drag a kayak down onto the beach, you know, that place where the bollards are with the rope around them, and it's a kind of a ground-up asphalt there. It's empty, and it needs something, and it looks straight out at the harbor mouth. So if we're going to do location later, though, I won't belabor the point. I think it's a great idea, just not sure of the location.
We will finalize location area later.
Okay.
Any other comments or questions?
Move approval of C1. Oh, go ahead.
And then I'll make comment on this motion.
Okay, we have a motion in a second.
Which I will also approve because it's not location specific. I am concerned about the Target Rock area because it has been left as a rustic natural area. I understand there are plans to talk about that, but they haven't been formalized. certainly the old Coleman Park area could use an enhancement. And the kind of development that we're talking about, if it's going to be similar to what's back on the East Coast, and you can see it's quite an urban developed parking area, which is what I hope Target Rock never looks like. So if that can be in a different location but still an appropriate location, I think it's a great idea. I think it's a wonderful addition to the community. I think people will love going to see it, and I'm excited about it.
Okay. Any other comments?
Mayor Peters.
Yes. I just think it's important to note that one of the reasons we included the information from Gloucester was to give an idea of what the statue would look like and what an area could potentially look like. But again, it's not what we're proposing at this point, just to be clear.
Right. That's not a project they're looking at. They're just looking at a statue at this point. I think it's a great idea, too. So, all right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Thank you. Good luck in your fundraising. Okay, we'll continue with C's then. Review the letter to Board of Supervisors regarding a skate park at the Cayuga Cemetery. And this one, I guess this is just you, Bill, huh?
Just,
just you.
It was
no
just
staff.
Me.
It's a council produced letter. Okay.
Several meetings ago, we talked about this, and I was tasked to write it, and I did. I don't know if I need to read it, but there it is. And
I think it would be a good idea to at least say what it's about,
okay,
because we have some misunderstanding about what the letter
is. Right, there was a
is.
Little misunderstanding. Essentially, what I noted is that we'd been contacted by area residents, and so the council decided we'd look at a letter. The letter essentially just says we have concerns about putting the skate park next to the cemetery. It appears to be an inappropriate use. Concerns including ambient noise from the skate park would be detrimental to the solemnity and decorum of a cemetery, especially during funeral services, could lead to an increase in vandalism and inappropriate behavior in the cemetery, and it could prove to be an attractive nuisance. We further, because the proposed users of the skate park essentially would be 12 to 15-year-olds, the concerns for them crossing Highway 1 in an uncontrolled intersection on their skateboards could be just a little dicey, too. So,
I would like, for his comments, what I've done, and I think I've given you each a copy, is just rework them into questions so they have to be responded to through their environmental process. And I've tried to use his same language. And if you want to keep his letter totally, then I would just ask that maybe we could add these questions at the end of the appropriate paragraphs. But basically, as he talked about ambient noise, then what are they doing to mitigate that? Or what are they doing to deal with supervision, drive-by patrols, how that's happening, what kind of talk has been had with Caltrans, if any, and their response to the crossing of the Highway 1. So I've just tried to rearrange that a little bit and add some questions so they have to be addressed at that level.
I have another question I think should be added, and that's what was brought up this evening about the fact that there's no water, which means no restroom facilities, no water, drinking fountain.
Well, and another question that I got was that there's no alternative, that we could also suggest alternatives. And I think we got two alternatives tonight, and we could ask them to make sure that they've evaluated those.
If I can interject a couple things here. First of all, this thing started 9 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they had three locations they looked at, and this is the one they selected. I don't remember one of them, but one of them was Hardy Park.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming there is some water somewhere around that cemetery because the grass is green. But
not across the street.
They would have to run pipes or something, I'm sure. But I don't know when the environmental stuff was done. I'm assuming that the environmental stuff was done years ago. Because it's gone all the way to the supervisors to spend the money. This is not a planning issue. It's done. So I'm not sure.
Well, how can it be protested if it's already a done deal?
Because the supervisors haven't given the go-ahead, from what I understand, because they don't have enough money to maintain it. They have the money to build it, but they don't have the money to maintain it, so it's on hold. But once it goes to them, I think if they find the money, they can pull the trigger on it and it goes. So this is... you know, it might be late, but I don't think we're in the planning process here. I think that was done a long time ago, and if I'm wrong, somebody shake a head one way or the other out there. But
Maybe our motion could be that to approve the letter and find out so we know the nature of the letter to send. Would that be okay for you?
Well, yeah.
I'd be glad to research that, to call the board and see at what stage are they with this.
Although we've approved the letter before, and then I was to write it. So mm-hmm. we've already approved doing a letter.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if we want to get into their planning process or just say, look, guys, we've got concerns. I mean, this is really what originally we mm-hmm. started our concept. We weren't trying to plan the thing for them.
No, but
we're just trying to say we have concerns that you're doing this.
Right. But I think that the method of sharing concerns was to express the areas of concern, but not necessarily to take a stand on it. And that the nature of the questions then lets them know where we stand on that.
Okay, could I have this back?
Yes, I'd like to jump
okay.
in here.
And,
thank you.
Yes.
I would agree with much of what Mr. Pierce said and what Ms. Winholt said. I saw the newspaper this morning, and it is true they're waiting for the maintenance money. The thing is not going. The other part of it is this is a Board of Supervisors. Just want to wait about what the county is going to do, because I kind of don't care, because they don't seem to. Anyway, I think it's their deal, their decision, and I think our input would be to ask them these questions. Did you consider this? And then let it go at that. I don't even know why they want to move their skate park. They've got a nice one there right by the vets hall.
Rick?
You know, we can talk about some of the problems, like there's no water there. Well, that's an easy fix. They can put a pipe in and have water there. I think the main thing about this whole thing is it's not an appropriate place to put a skate park next to a cemetery. That's the bottom line.
Well, I'm concerned, too, if they're not going to, and I don't know, if does this include restrooms?
I don't know.
Because if it doesn't, you know what they're going to be using for the restrooms.
Well, Mr. Lewis, who lives in Morro Bay and who has contacted me a couple of times, and probably you too, Mr. Pierce, says that his understanding is it will be chemical toilets.
There will be restroom facilities,
okay, so there
but
will be something.
Again,
okay.
That's part of the planning process, and they've already planned it. They've got they've got the drawings. So, and I don't know if they're at the point where if we send questions that they'll bother to answer them, because they've been there.
Okay.
I mean, this thing started 9 years ago.
All right. What I would ask is, this is your letter. You've seen Betty's suggestions. Which would you prefer to do? And we'll vote on that and see where we go.
Well, I think there's more than one vote here.
I
personally don't ask that they respond. I mean, I don't care what their responses to our questions are. I just felt that we have concerns, and we just want to tell them we don't like it. We have concerns, and it looks like not a great idea. I don't want to help them plan the thing. It's just not the great location. So, you know, we saw a response from former Supervisor Bianchi in the newspaper today talking about, well, if there's a funeral going on, they'll just close the skate park. But if that's a non-planned closure, the kids are all going to be standing around out there anyway. So if I don't know that, you know, as I say, I personally just say I think that it could be an attractive nuisance. I think the kids, there's a traffic hazard, and now you've heard from us. But
okay.
I'll do whatever, obviously, that the council wants to do.
I'll just add one more point, and then I'll be done. As a body, when we receive a complaint, if someone's just making a statement, I say, thank you. If they ask a question, I actually do something. Mm-hmm. Okay? So I had the same feeling here. They're a legislative body. If I make a complaint or just make a statement, oh, no, somebody's complaining. But if you ask me a question, I have to go do something. Okay, so that's why I kind of thought the questions might stimulate something, but it's in light of where it is in the process, maybe it just doesn't matter.
I was going to say, if this were still in the planning process, these would be great questions to ask, but as I say, I think we've been there. I think it's over, and from what I understand, they're just waiting for money. So they, you know, I think it's been through all the review. If I'm wrong and anybody knows, do you have any idea, Andrea?
No, you're correct. They're waiting for maintenance money.
So it's done. They've obviously done all that they think they're going to do.
Well, anybody want to make a motion?
Regarding this letter, if we're going to put the questions in like that, there's a lot more visitation at the
It's fine.
Was that an aye?
I think that was a fine.
Is it a yes?
Well, I guess I'll vote no, okay. Because I think it needs to be in a different form.
4-1, Betty opposed. Okay.
I support the concept. I just would like a different format.
Yeah, that's okay. All righty. Let's see. The BID. Okay, now everybody's leaving. So I guess we can go to our consent. I don't think they're waiting on any specific item. Okay, consent agenda. All right, anybody want to pull anything on consent?
What, are A1 and A2?
Are you back?
Yes, I want to pull A3.
I'm sorry?
I'd like to pull A3.
Pulling A3, okay. And I'm going to pull A4 just for a comment. All right. Can I hear a motion approving A1 and A2?
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay, Melody, A3.
I pulled A3, proclamation of the City of Morro Bay declaring April 18th as Arbor Day. And I pulled it because I do love trees. I'm trying to grow some trees in the backyard to plant in city spaces. I would remind people that we are still in the no tree trimming zone as required by our ordinance. But mainly I thought I'd pull it because I thought this was going to be announced so many times tonight. But on the overhead, it shows there that they're going to have at the Del Mar Park this weekend, they're putting on a Trees, Children, and Mother Earth celebration, and that is the Arbor Day festivity. It will be 3:30 p.m. at the Del Mar Park, and you should go. They'll be planting several new trees within the Del Mar Park as well as some general park pickup. I think trees belong just about everywhere. We need them everywhere. And so if you could go to Del Mar School 3:30 on Friday and celebrate trees and their worth to all of us.
Okay.
And I would make a comment before you move approval, and that is that I've noticed in the last 3 or 4 months around town that at least in 4 different locations that I have seen trees dying, public trees. I question whether they've been dying for natural causes or if they've been poisoned because of their locations. I know down at the Colmer Bluff above Tidelands that someone has actually once again topped the trees that are in someone's view shed. So I'm concerned that there are a few people in town that are not honoring the community's desire to have trees as part of our landscape in the urban area. And would it ask you to stop?
Okay. Thank you. I move approval of A3 then and proclamation of the City of Morro Bay, April 18th, Arbor Day.
Second.
Move the bill. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay. And I pulled A4 just because we have a resignation from the Harbor Board. Trudy O'Brien is going to be stepping down. Just wanted to thank her. She's certainly been a help and we'll miss her.
And do we not need to have a meeting to appoint, fill that position?
We probably will.
Since it's before the 6 months when
we said we
wouldn't.
Right. So, yeah, I might mention
different ramifications of doing that. Council at that meeting directed staff to come back in a few months with the status of the business improvement district. So we're back in front of you just to give you a quick status update and find out if there's any other direction you want staff to take. The Board of Supervisors did hold a hearing on March 18th for the formulation of that county bid, but it had to be postponed, as Joan Solo said during the public comment. It was postponed because there was a technicality in sending out notices. There were some vacation homes that they weren't included in there and some other technicalities. So the Board of Supervisors told them to come back in September for approval of it. So in the meantime, county staff will be working on updating the mailing list to make sure everybody has noticed. And at least what I've gleaned from hearing, I didn't watch it, but the Board of Supervisors also told the formation committee or the steering committee of it to make certain that you have the hoteliers all in step with approving this, and that the word was that the Board of Supervisors would approve it as well. So there was a little bit of a change in who's steering. There is a different steering committee that will be steering the bid through the process in the next few months. But it will be coming back in September, which at that time will be approved or not approved. At that time, it would be too late also for you to put on any TOT. If it wasn't approved, you could not put on a TOT but for the November election because it would be too late at that point in time. So it's in front of you and just as a status report, and if there's any other direction you want to give us.
I have two questions. First of all, there would be nothing to prevent us from creating our own BID within Morro Bay.
Correct. There's
that doesn't have to be a vote of the people because it's the hoteliers.
Correct. So if it failed in I think your question is if it did not get through the right. Board of Supervisors process, yes, you certainly could in Morro Bay alone. In fact, it appears that's what the City of San Luis Obispo and Paso are doing their own bids on their own. They've already said they're not going to join in on the countywide. That could change in the next few months, but at the time, it's the unincorporated areas of Tescadero and the City of Morro Bay.
And the other question is, I understand that there
are... Oh, and Aloria Grande, I'm sorry.
I understand that there may be, now the VCB may not be the one taking care of this whole project.
Correct.
And that, and when they figure out who is going to, I'm a little concerned that we make sure that all the hoteliers in Morro Bay know that that change has happened and make sure that that doesn't affect their wanting to be involved, depending on who that turns out to be.
My suggestion is, since it is somewhat of a moving target, is once the ordinance is done and we know who the party that's going to be administering it, that we bring it back again like we did before to
right.
make certain that we still are in support of it from the city's standpoint.
Okay.
I think that's the best way to look at it because it is somewhat of a moving target. It's gone from 1%, then to 2%. The agency to administrate it when it was going to be the county visitors serving, part of the problem is well, what if I'm a hotel in San Luis Obispo and I want to be in it, but the city's not part of it, and how is that all going to work for membership dues? And that might be one of the reasons why they backed out, but I don't have any personal knowledge of that, but that appears is one of the reasons why maybe they're backing out looking for a separate
family emergency right before the council meeting had to leave. So bear with me through the staff report, if you would. The report was asked for us to put together a report on noise abatement issues related to kennels as well as garden machinery. As you can see, the report before you outlines the current municipal codes related to those two. 7.04.070 deals specifically with kennels and how the unlawful can be deemed as a public nuisance as far as noise as well as sanitary conditions. 7.04.080 deals specifically with how residents can file a complaint to see if the standards reach a public nuisance. And that's outlined. I won't read the section specifically, but you do have it there, and it is available in the municipal code. As far as garden machinery, there is no specific codes related to noise with garden machinery. How there is specific codes related to noise within the city, and one of them is specifically deals with the leaf blowers, and it talks about them having adequate mufflers. And it also refers to compliance related to the vehicle code, which is outdated because that vehicle code is no longer pertinent. Specifically, regarding decibel limits with sections related in other parts of the code, we have always found that problematic because you need a specific decibel meter to do the readings, which means it has to be calibrated and certified, as well as the officers who would be using it would need to be certified in training for it to be upheld in a court of law. And we're not aware of any garden machinery noise complaints that have been specific. We have had one that you're aware of, and we had a speaker during public comment get up and talk about with a kennel on Quintana. We do contract services with animal
control,
thank you, animal services, and that was thoroughly investigated as professional courtesy. They did keep us in the loop of the investigation. I did review their final report. They did a very thorough investigation. They interviewed all of the neighbors and businesses in the area, as well as all of the evidence provided to them in videotape. They made a determination that it was not a public nuisance, and as it went through an appeal process, and that was upheld, and that was the final outcome of that process. And part of that process is also, as was stated, they cannot file complaints for another year. We did provide all the information for that investigation that we had, as well as complaints that came into the Morro Bay Police Department, and the Animal Services took that into consideration during their investigation. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Okay. I have a question.
Bill?
Tim, I know we have rules as far as how early or in the morning you can start construction if you're building a house. Does that include things like leaf blowers, too?
Yes, it does, in the business districts and residential neighborhoods. I don't have it specifically before me, but I believe it's between 7 a.m. and 10 p.m. Or 7 to 7.
I believe it goes 7 to 7, and I'm surprised. So if I could kick in here a little bit on noise, or the municipal code, and again, there's this vague language that I don't know how you enforce anything. When you say something like proximity of the noise to residential sleeping facilities, but that leaf guy, the blower over at Albertson's, is right by that whole mobile home park. And then the density of inhabitation, the same thing, and the time of the day or night the noise occurs. And as long as we leave things as vague as that, instead of saying things like a 7 to 7 or 7 to 10, perhaps, you know, as long as we say the time of the day or night the noise occurs, there is no ordinance, really. We use vague language, and we put these guys at risk because then they have to explain vague language, I guess. So if I was to call you up some night at midnight and say, hey, could you guys go down there and tell him to stop that? You'd say, well, let me see. Where does it fit? I don't know. So that was my comment about that, and we might want to do something.
Well, I had a concern, too. Someone was complaining about a bunch of motorcycles being revved up behind the new, what used to be the cotton ball, and that went on for about 3 hours one morning, all these motorcycles. I don't know what they were doing, but what does a person do about that? I mean, I know on Kern, there's a motorcycle that goes up and down there that just shakes the house. What do we do? How do we get things like that enforced? I mean, do we have enough police to be able to go out and be pointing decibel meters around, or does it need to be a consistent complaint?
Well, obviously, we would want you to call us, and if pending calls for service, we have to prioritize everything. We may not be able to respond right at that moment, but it is something we can document in our record management system as a CAT event, which would give us running documentation of how to do it, maybe if it is a consistent nature, if it's repetitive, mm-hmm. and occurs over and over again. That helps give us a little bit of strength in enforcing it. As far as specific locations, where you mentioned behind the cotton ball, that is something we could respond to, especially if it's for that length of time. Mm-hmm. I would like to think that we're not backed up that much to where we'd be able to respond in 3 hours and have them cease the noise. And if appropriate, we could do an investigation. And if the situation warrants it, a citation could be issued. The more clear you run a danger of making it so precise, sometimes the language, that you eliminate certain parts where you need to enforce it, but you also run danger the other way, too, of it being so vague it is unenforceable. It's finding a happy medium between the two is the best action.
Okay, and then one other question, too, about, because I was called often about the paw spa. They can't file a complaint for a year, so doesn't that just give the spa owner license to let things run amok?
No, that specific, the people who filed the specific complaint, mm-hmm. cannot file a complaint for a year.
But their neighbor could, because they weren't the specific,
yes.
filer, they were just part of?
That is correct, from my understanding. It's not that they cannot still complain about specific issues. Mm-hmm. That person can, but other neighbors can still address the issue. If we get calls on that or WASPA, that I don't think it indicates it was one.
Yes.
There was several complaints, and that was what
we
was
did. However, receive a complaint regarding the WASPA. What was the complaint? Was it noise?
The complaints were excessive barking.
Okay. In regarding the leaf blowers, you're never going to find one that has a gas engine that's going to be unobtrusive. I found that the ones that are electric are much, much less, they're much more tolerable. They don't have the whine and the decibel level that the gas ones do. Because in order to have a gas one that's going to be not blowing everybody away, the muffler's got to be this big on it. So they just don't make those. So I'd like to see gas-operated blowers just not even allowed. I think that'll take away a lot of the problem. And that's it for now.
Melody?
Yeah, I have a comment. I don't know whether or not we can actually direct staff to do something about the noise ordinance that I have here. But I take it that this is a wide noise ordinance that just happens to take in leaf blowers and trucks that wander around parking lots. Anything that we deem to be noise.
There is a general noise ordinance. There mm-hmm. is actually specifically, if you look under 9.28.30 parenthetical, capital L, it discusses blowers specifically. So the blowers are specifically addressed. However, the section is slightly outdated because okay. it talks about properly muffled with a muffler sufficient to reduce the noise level where it will not disturb surrounding neighborhood. And as far as noise limits, it refers back to a vehicle code section that is no longer in the vehicle code.
Well, that's all not good, too. I think what we're getting here tonight is a few signals that maybe we need to revise this ordinance, the language of it. To one on the blowers, the factual incorrect things you say are happening there. And I've made some suggestions that I'll share with you immediately, not right now, but on 020 about just noise in town. You know, I would delete A and B right away because we don't have a meter to measure it. I would delete C because it's just subjective whether noise is unusual or usual. I would delete E because the volume intensity of the background noise of it, I mean, that just gives you extra work to do.
I think when I talk about the decibel reading, there mm-hmm. is other ways of dealing with it
okay.
as far as noise. It's audible, clearly audible from a distance of 50 or 100 feet from property lines. Those are other ways it can be addressed also.
But I think what council may be hearing, and I'm certainly hearing, is that we have enough here that would cause us to request some revision to the ordinance to be brought back to us to take a look at.
If that's council's direction, then I think it's the best is let staff go research. I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to think of when the noise ordinance was written. It's been a while. And obviously with the vehicle code being outdated, it certainly does have to be updated.
Mm-hmm.
But I would let us, you know, instead of trying to give an example, let us come back with what we think fits, and then you can tell us whether we're off or not. I think that's
excellent.
The best way to look at it and see what other jurisdictions have done. Your
dogs.
The dogs.
Can we eliminate gas blowers?
Other cities have.
San Luis Obispo allows no blowers.
So really?
I think, yes.
Does the city use them?
Yes, we do use them. I believe so. But before I would answer that, you know, with a definite, I would like to come back to you with that information because okay. I think the city parks department has done some extra things to make sure that they curb the noise. So that would be important information to you
okay.
to have prior to making a
well,
decision.
I think that certainly is the council in agreement that we'd like that looked at as well.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So basically, we do need a motion that we would like you to investigate the noise ordinance and update it?
And bring back possible revisions.
Okay.
Move direct staff to bring back an upgraded noise ordinance.
Any more discussion?
Yes, and it includes both the blowers and the kennel type of situation.
They're in the noise ordinance. Just the
I
noise
don't.
Ordinance.
They're a little separate from the noise ordinance, actually.
Aren't they sections under the noise ordinance?
070 is
the
my direction of that I'm hearing is that I would certainly research that and see what other cities and jurisdictions have done with blowers and with kennels.
Landscape equipment and kennels.
And then I'd just like to make one other comment, and it's one of the issues I think that we haven't addressed yet, and that is our contract with Animal Services over this kennel issue. And I know that they're having other evaluations, as was mentioned by the speaker tonight, and other groups, including volunteers, have been very critical of animal services. And I'm not sure if we, I actually attended the hearing, the review hearing at the animal services with the residents. And in truth, it was like about nine people that were there. So all nine of the neighbors can't make comment anymore because they've made comment. So it wasn't just one person. So a neighborhood has been turned off by this animal services, and they continue to have concerns and have no recourse. So I don't know, I don't want to deal with it tonight, of course, and we can't deal with it tonight, but I think we need to be aware of what do we need to do about our contract with animal services, or what kind of communication do we need from them, or a relationship.
Well, I guess I have that question, too. Is this something, if we're going to update our noise ordinance, are we allowed to issue citations for things like that? And can that be included so that we don't even have to go to
two separate
to
issues.
Services?
If you want to review the contract, you certainly can and do that as a separate agenda item. But certainly you can make regulations that can be enforced through citations within
okay.
our city
so
limits.
So we have something that we can give citations without even having to call them.
Well, I don't.
Our police are getting called anyway.
Right, right. And I don't know if we have. My question is, if we have a contract with animal services, does that tie our police force in terms of that they can't make citation? And I think maybe that you can do citation regardless.
That's correct.
Okay. I was really hoping to keep the two things separate from one another because I think there's a more serious problem with what's going on at the PASPA, and I think that it could be taken care of with citations or under the current ordinances that we have if you don't follow your business permit and what you're supposed to be doing as a part of that, mm-hmm. cite them, send whoever's going to do code enforcement down there to talk to them and tell
them. We let Mr. Amble go home, and I said
okay.
I'd be able to handle it, at least see if we can get through it. This is back in front of you at your direction. You wanted us to come back within 6 months with an update of where we were on the appeal fees. If you recall, you took two actions in the last 6 months. One was to reduce the appeal fee to $250, and the other one was to, if you prevail, to refund the appeals. We've only had three appeals. Basically, the report says it's probably cost the general fund about $800. And other staff time and other issues, but so the report is it's kind of hard still to tell really wants to come back in six more months or maybe once a year. Maybe we could do it if that's the way you want to go. But the main issue we want direction on is that the one appeal having to do with the cell tower was the appeal was overturned, so therefore under the circumstances they should get the appeal back. However, the lawsuit was filed and so it came up with the circumstances with a new policy. We didn't know what to do, so we have not refunded that. Staff has no opinion on that. It came to my desk, and not knowing whether that meant prevailing because a third party had filed a lawsuit, and so we just said let's just wait till we come back to the 6 month period. If council feels if you win at the council level that's a prevailing and they get their refund back, we'll shoot them a refund tomorrow. Or if you'd rather wait until litigation was complete and actually prevailed on all the issues, then it would be refunded. But it, like I said, a new policy, didn't know where to head with it. I figured instead of refunding it and find out council felt differently, it would better to hold on and wait until it came back to you at the 6 month period. So here it is, and that's where we really need the direction. And then our other direction would be to come back in 6 months or not come back at all if you're satisfied that this isn't a deal you even want to deal with in 6 months again.
Okay. Melody?
Well, I appreciate that you delayed any refund because you wanted to have council direction on it. I think it's a different kind of situation for staff. And I also appreciate that you have been timely in this report on what this new policy does. However, my feeling is that that appeal money should be refunded to these appellants. They are residents of Morro Bay. They put $1,300 of their own money up. I thought it was like $200, but apparently they missed our cutoff on that policy. But $1,300 is a lot to people, to anyone really. And to have them wait while litigation goes on, we could wind up like, I guess I won't name it, but you know, another suit that's been going on for decades. They had nothing to do with the litigation or Nextel coming after us. They just said, we don't want a cell phone in a residential area. They appealed it. We agreed with them. return their money.
Yeah, you know, we started this new policy to see what, and then we said, well, let's come back in a few months and see how it affects us. And like Rob says, we've only had three. That's not enough to really say that's where we want to be. So I'm for checking it out in a year and see how it's affected us also. And I think the right thing to do is give these folks their appeal money back.
Bill?
I agree.
Betty?
I'll make the motion unless you want to make comments.
Maybe we make a minimal amount that we keep on each one and refund the rest or something like that. So I would still like to look at it in a year, but I agree they should get their money back.
So my motion, I move that we refund the appellant's appeal fee from the cell tower appeal and that we come back in a year with another review of how the fee schedule is working.
Second.
All right, we'll give that one to Bill again. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None.
Just to make sure and clarification, that's not another 6 months for 1 year total, but 1 year from today.
We'll 1 year from today.
Yeah, 1 year from today.
Thank you.
All right, item D4. This is a discussion on the removal of the San Jacinto Roundabout project from the work list, and this is Betty.
My recommendation is that we direct staff to return with a resolution to remove the proposed roundabout at San Jacinto and Main Street from city documents. Outside of the staff report, which is very brief, gives a background that these three roundabouts were proposed at the same time back in the 1990s. And to add to what Mr. Boucher sent us through email today, that they are on a long-range work schedule with the SLOCOG, who funds monies for transportation. But as Madam Mayor knows, that SLOCOG can even get immediate projects funded. So it's not a real item in terms of that there will be money soon down the pike. My concern is that this project just be eliminated altogether. I see it as a poor location because of its relationship to Highway 1 and Caltrans issues with that, with our own financial concerns, with residents' objections to roundabouts, and it's not the time or the place to have this project. So I would just like to see it eliminated.
Okay, Bill?
Well, I think this has been on there for some distant time in the future. I don't think anybody in this city has plans for putting a roundabout in there, but if it is a placeholder for money, I think we ought to talk about it before we just pull it off the list. We do have to ultimately do something at that intersection. I don't know if a roundabout's the answer or something else, but where San Jacinto and Main Street and those things all come together with cars coming off the freeway, that is about the dumbest intersection anybody could have. And it's the problem is created by Caltrans.
Mm-hmm.
So there it is. But I use it a couple of times a week, and it's always just a little bit of a crapshoot to make sure you don't die getting through it. And so, you know, maybe we leave it on there and we call it what it is for now, and maybe when time comes we can do something else with it and say to SLOCOG or whoever, well, we didn't really mean roundabout. We just meant we want to fix this intersection. So I don't know if I really want to just pull it off because people hate roundabouts. People hate roundabouts right now in Morro Bay because they're afraid of them. And I don't know if they're going to be afraid of them after they see this one finished or not. So I think it's, if nothing else, I would suggest maybe we wait till this one's finished, and then if everybody still stands up and says, you guys are nuts, then let's pull it off. But let's let people at least see what one looks like before we react to their fears.
Well, and I'll respond before I let the rest of the council go, but I think it's a misnomer to use the major accidents at either of those locations. Rick?
I think by taking it off off the map here, it lessens our future options, and it's not going to hurt us by leaving it on, but it can hurt us by taking it off. So I'm for leaving it on at this time.
Melody?
Well, as usual, or maybe not as usual, but I'm wondering if there's something in between the two things. And for example, I wouldn't be in favor of having a roundabout there, and I think it'll turn into another tiny one because of Caltrans easements. But I'm wondering if there's something that we can do. And I'm not on SLOCOG. Mayor Peters and Councilmember Winholtz, you guys can bat this around a bit. I'm wondering if we can direct staff to engage with SLOCOG and say, we don't want to call it a roundabout at this point, but we want to call it an improvement, and then leave it as a placeholder, as Mr. Pierce was suggesting. But I think you're suggesting that we can't negotiate language once we're on the list. But, I mean, that's obviously an intersection that we might want to do something, a speed bump, little naughty things that tell people you're approaching an intersection, whatever it is. But I'm wondering if there's some in-between space.
Well, and maybe I should have said this at the beginning. I did ask at SLOCOG. I said, what is the status of this in your list, and what happens if we remove it? And basically they said, there's no money for it. You can put it back on the list whenever you want. It until there's funding either from the city or from SLOCOG, there's no point in even talking about it. We can always submit a project to SLOCOG for consideration. There's no priority order other than things that are already funded. And when we come in with some matching funding, then we can talk to them about it, and maybe it would happen. But and quite possibly, you know, if the one at Quintana and Main is as successful as I'm hoping it's going to be, I'm sorry, Morbe Boulevard in Quintana, then we may want to do that out there. It may be the logical thing. But it's not going to lose us anything by taking it off the list now. It's not going to gain us anything by keeping it on. It's a moot point, really.
Well, I think it's a signal to the residents that we've heard them about their concerns. I think it's we've had fights at two other intersections about this, and I think it's a message that, yes, we're trying to listen, and yes, we're trying to respond, and yes, we recognize this isn't what might be needed, so let's come back when we have matching money and say, this is going to be the solution. Let's not project into the future what we think it might be, because as you said, there's no money, it's not going to happen. Right. And to come back later with something that is appropriate.
Well, you know, I'm glad you said that, because I went back through all my files, which I had kept on the roundabout, and remembered that at the meeting that we had on the Highway 41 and 1 interchange, so many people at public comment got up and said, you know, the intersection of Morbe Boulevard and Quintana, yeah, I understand, that would be a good idea there. The one that I don't want is this one. And I remember that now, because I had a list of all the people. Yeah, it's okay there, but not here. It's just a matter of perspective, you know. When that was the one we were talking about, that's the one nobody wanted. And they said, oh, this other one will be fine. So it's funny how opinions change over time. But anyway, there was support for the one that's going in right now, more than we may recall.
Well, I think way back when there was, mm-hmm. and I think it's because it was not in there. I have two, and one's maybe a question for Ms. Luker. I'm wondering where our contract is with AGP, and what brought it back to mind is that I saw that the council debates or the council candidate debates, the mayoral council debates, are streamed on the Internet, but our city meetings still aren't, and that's something I'd really like to get on. So I'm wondering when our contract is coming back so we can talk about that.
I can tell you that it is on our agenda planning guide. I know that we've been waiting for some information from AGP. I will check with Janine Burlingame, who deals with that contract, and get back to you.
Okay. So we need to put the burr under Mr. Matthews' saddle, or Ms. Castle's. And then my other issue that I'd like is this issue over the lot or track 41, the Cabrillo item. And I have no personal problem with bringing that back to our next meeting and just choosing between the two options that the neighbors gave us. I don't know that we need to go and onto the Planning Commission.
Well, it's already scheduled for either their next meeting or the one after.
But if we choose to hear it ourselves at our next meeting, it can come off their agenda. Mm-hmm. So I'm ready to hear that. I'm ready to make a decision.
Okay, so you want that on our next agenda, which is going to be after the Planning Commission hears it.
Well, I'm asking if you're interested. I think if you would support my interest, that's saying that you're ready to make a decision also, that you don't need to hear from the Planning Commission. So if you want to have it go through Planning Commission, then I think you're not going to want to support my item here.
Okay. Does Betty have support for bringing it back at our next meeting, is what you're saying?
She has my support. I think Mr. Ambo said that he could put it on the next Planning Commission meeting and bring it back So I support it coming back as soon as possible, which would be the next meeting. And that could include Planning Commission. I support it.
Because planning meets before we do.
Well, I think what they were looking for was a full Planning Commission. I know they're having some problems with vacations. And I think that's been the concern.
Well, as long as they have a majority.
I think they're having some problems with vacations and full Planning Commission, and they're trying to get, for some of these important things, they're trying to get all the commissioners there. So, but anyway.
Mayor Peters?
Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I just think it's important that you know that our meeting for the 28th is, at this point, looks fairly heavy.
As far as items. A couple things coming back.
Just so you know, we've got some things that have to come back on that agenda. So just an FYI.
It's got the two appeals and a couple of my items, the ordinance on emergency services for cables that are down. I mean, it's a very heavy agenda right now.
Why don't we say our first meeting in June?
How about the last meeting in May then?
I'm sorry, yeah, because I'm thinking this is still April. First meeting in May, that's what I meant.
The first meeting in May is our heavy one?
No, you're saying the second meeting in April. No.
Last meeting in April.
Yeah.
It's the heavy one.
So the first meeting in May.
Should be better.
All right, so if you want to make that your future, I'll go along with mm-hmm. that too. Okay. Everybody agree? First mm-hmm. meeting in May, we want to hear it? Okay. And anything else? Future agenda? Bill?
I don't know if this is an agenda item. Once upon a time, isn't it nice to be able to start council business that way? No. Once upon a time, we had the Adopt a Tree program, if you remember, and were obtained under the grant. But it was neat because we had all these new little street trees that were growing up that were the appropriate kind and all that. And I'm just wondering if somewhere out there there's maybe another grant and maybe we could try to start that program up again. And brought to mind by the idea we've got Arbor Day coming up, and what the heck?
So your agenda item would be?
My agenda item would be to try to look for some money to start the Adopt a Tree program again.
Do we need to discuss that, or can you just check that out with the people who look for those?
I could probably do that.
Okay, and then bring it back with a proposal? Okay, anything else? Rick, anything? Melody?
Well, I think it's time. In 2005, I suggested we have a redevelopment agency, and we might as well put it back on the agenda since all the candidates are talking about it now. But I would suggest that we not put it on the agenda until probably late summer so that we have a city manager in place, mm-hmm. and that person has had some time to get the ground under him or her, and that we rediscuss redevelopment again. Redevelopment agency.
Okay.
I do have a question, not regarding that, but about agenda items. Do we have any idea when the idea that I brought up of the business recruiting has come back as an agenda item? Because I wanted to start an ad hoc committee, and it theoretically needed to come back for us to do it.
My apologies. I need to bring that list with me. I know it's on. It may be on pending. I don't know if we've given it a date at this point.
If we could just, it's not going to take long, but if we do that, then we can start working with the chamber and get the thing moving. And it certainly couldn't hurt.
Okay. Okay. Support for Melody's idea on redevelopment. Bring that back sometime in the summer. Yes. Okay. Good.
I'm sorry. My apologies. I didn't realize we were waiting to get support.
Yeah. The reason we, shied away from it last time was just cost and time, as usual. So let's look at it again. Okay, and Bill, you have a closing quote tonight?
Yes. This one is from Ralph Waldo Emerson. I have to read it carefully. What you are thunders so that I cannot hear what you say to the contrary.
We're adjourned.